Welcome, everybody, to the podcast everybody's been talking about, where Alexa and Colin talk about whatever they feel like. How are you, sweet Alexa?
Oh, pretty good. Same old with this COVID shit.
Yes, do you feel at the end of this week you feel more positive or more negative about the situation?
I honestly feel like the news changes every day, and the states change every day, so some people are like, it's the worst week ever, and then it's like, we're flatlining, and they're like, oh, back to the worst week ever. So I just don't know. I just feel like I just need to be neutral about the situation.
Yeah, as much as we can control. Be. I get it. It's funny to say, like, you try to be neutral when such a terrible, horrible tragedy is going on, but because it's like, it's not over, you can't really even come to terms with the loss yet. You just have to try to, I mean, it seems a little bit dramatic, but it's true, just survive it.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are just putting their head down, and, you know, there's horrible places like New York, but Colorado seems to be, which is where I think most people listening are, has been okay. But, I mean, everyone's been so negatively affected by it. It's hard when you stop not to just be, like, bummed out about it, but I think people are persevering.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a cool thing about America is that we do persevere, but it's just tough because we've never really been through something like this, and it's going to be cool for Duke to, like, listen to this when he's older because it's just a crazy, unless the world ends and he won't get to listen to it, but.
Yeah, that would be a bummer. There's no way he goes back in time and listens to these. By the time he's like 8, he's not going to want to listen to mom and dad talk 8 years ago.
Not 8, like 18. He'll find this interesting.
Maybe.
Well, okay, so before we talk about our main topic, I always like to throw in a health line. And during this COVID, like a lot of people are like trying to like protect themselves. So what are a couple things that, you know, your practice recommends to people naturally to try to protect them? It's not obviously going to solve all their problems. We need a disclaimer here. It's not going to prevent you from getting the virus, but like as best as it can.
Yeah. Well, I think in general, what I'm telling everyone to do is follow what the CDC is saying, seeing, you know, what's going on in your county as well as just primarily what's coming from your governor. You know, like in Colorado late last week, they issued a, you know, if you're going to go to a public space, so basically anywhere where you're going, where you're not just with the people you've been living with, they say you should be wearing a mask. So that's kind of a big change. And the mask doesn't necessarily need to be medical grade, just needs to be anything.
Yeah, but people don't listen to that.
Sure, I'm just telling people what we're recommending.
Oh.
You know, it seems silly, but really just, you know, washing your hands. I think a lot of people right now are getting those, you know, purple gloves, or they've got some sort of protective glove that they're wearing to the supermarket and things like that. Just remember, once you put those gloves on and you're clean, anything you touch after that now makes your gloves unclean. And so anything you touch with your gloves after you touch your first thing, so you touch your keys, now you're unclean. You know, you close your door, now you're unclean. You walk in, you buy groceries, those are all unclean. Your wallet, what else did you touch? Did you touch your glasses? Did you touch your sweater? What did you touch? Because then when you get back into your car, you know, you just got to be, you can take the gloves off or maybe you have a second pair on, but you just got to be cognizant, you know, what do I need to clean in order to be safe? And obviously, I'm just hopeful this is going to be over as soon as possible. It really seems to be having a positive effect in a lot of places. As long as people are, you know, keeping basically to their tight-knit groups. And I think with Easter coming up, it's really a big bummer for a lot of people. And the news is going to be positive here. Well, not necessarily positive. I mean, the deaths that we're losing, especially in places like New York, is going to be bad. I think in Colorado, it's not going to be that bad. And so I think that's what I mean by positive. But I don't want that to give people a lot of artificial hope that means they can just go back to doing everything normal.
Yeah, we need to. It's just like getting injured. You need to ease back into things. Like, we can't just be like, woohoo, like, right back to normal.
Right. So, anyways, I know this has affected a lot of people really negatively, but wash your hands, stick to the people who you live with, wear a mask when you go to public places.
Right.
And if you are sick, call your local family practice and they'll give you instructions on what to do.
Well, I'm talking about like the things you were telling me about, like elderberry, zinc.
Yeah. You know. Okay. So a couple of things you can try to buy, if you can actually buy them, things that have been shown to potentially be helpful, because everyone wants to feel like they want to do something during this. And so elderberry is, you know, actually been shown in some studies to be able to break down the lipid layer that protects the virus RNA, essentially making the virus dead. So elderberry seems to be helpful. You know, it's similar to blueberries. If you can't get elderberries right now, blueberries are probably helpful, maybe.
You do elderberry gummies.
Yeah, that's what we have. I take an elderberry gummy every day. I like my vitamins to be gummies.
What about zinc?
Yeah, so zinc can be helpful too. It's been shown at least a lot and to be what's called a cofactor. So it just basically helps different parts of your immune system work better. Right, it's like giving your car a little bit better gasoline and everything just works a little bit better. This is specifically true when you are already having an infection. It's been shown to at least help either reduce symptoms, you know, just symptoms or duration of things that have generally been related to more of the common cold or the flu. You know, they haven't actually been studied in coronavirus, which is obvious, but these are things that have been shown to, zinc has helped people's immune system in the past. Vitamin C is another big one that people talk about from the literature. Essentially, what I understand is that it, again, helps when you do already have some sort of infection or virus or something that's putting stress on your immune system. But a lot of times we have viruses putting a stress on our immune system, usually not coronavirus, but other viruses. And so being on vitamin C wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing unless you've been advised not to by your medical provider.
Well, you can also get vitamin C from other things like strawberries and...
Yeah.
Like, actually, strawberries and bell peppers are higher in vitamin C than orange juice.
Yeah, I mean, most people who eat a well-balanced diet, most of those vitamins are going to be water-soluble, so you're going to just end up peeing out a lot of vitamins.
Yeah.
Not to say that all vitamins are bad, especially if you've been instructed to take one, but, you know, just eat a really good diet. And for most people, you don't necessarily need to supplement a lot of stuff.
So, yeah, that's what we do. We take a zinc and elderberry and turmeric.
Every day. And black onion is on a lot of
black garlic.
Black garlic. Just we eat vegetables and touch my face right now, but don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Keep your circle small.
I do want to say something funny that... someone that we really like said, I won't mention the name because I don't know like privacy stuff on podcasts and like copyright stuff, but someone we really love and follow said something so funny the other day when we were listening to him speak, and he was like, I just don't understand the toilet paper thing. And like, I don't either. And I think a lot of it comes from stupid social media, which I hate because some dumbass hogged up the whole Costco and took a picture of it. So everyone flipped out and went and bought, they're like, oh no, like we have to do that too.
Yeah.
So then what he said was, he's like, I don't understand toilet paper because it attacks your lungs, not your butt.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The virus doesn't attack your butt. What are you doing, man? We all, yeah. I think it's funny, you know, this is going to be this and probably for the next 5 years and how society kind of changes as a result of this are going to be probably one of the most studied events in epidemiology or sociology more because yeah, the study of humans here, you know, is really just really interesting. So I think people have calmed down, I think, on the toilet paper. I haven't been to a grocery store in a while. Is there toilet paper? Can I go to the store and get toilet paper?
I haven't seen any. I don't go to the store anymore for that reason, because people are scary and rude. I saw the last time I went to the store and then started buying stuff online was this jerk of a guy was yelling at the poor kid across the counter. And I was just like, this is dumb. Like, I don't want to be a part of people being assholes.
Just be good to each other, folks. We're all in this. We're all stressed out. All of us have been impacted.
We all need toilet paper, so stop hoarding.
Let's just be good to each other. So if you spend any time with Alexa or I, we generally... at some point start talking to you about something called the MBTI. So we've been bored and we've been talking a lot about the MBTI and a lot about just really Duke too, trying to figure out what his personality type is. It's a fun thing to talk about. Alexa, do you want to explain what the MBTI is to people who have not heard it?
Yeah, if you haven't, you better look into it because I'll ask you next time I see you. But MBTI stands for Myers-Briggs Personality Instrument. And obviously, like, no, not one size fits all, but this is pretty accurate if you look into it, along with the Enneagram. That's another famous one. But Myers-Briggs has four different letters, and they stand for different things. So the first letter, you're either an introvert or an extrovert. Extroverts get their energy from their surroundings, where introverts get their energy from within. The next letter could either be an N or an S. N is standing for intuitive, which means like big picture type, and S's are more like the five senses and like what's right there in front of them. The next letter is a T or an F, thinker or feeler. Thinkers put logic before emotions, and feelers put emotions before logic. Not to say that thinkers can't feel emotion, it's just that they prefer logistical argumentation over emotional first. And the last letter is a J or P, which stands for judger versus perceiver. It's how you judge time. So J's are very much like by a schedule, and they know what they're doing 2 weeks from now, or P's are more loose with time. And they still get stuff done. They just go about it not as military.
Right. Okay, so I'll give you my understanding of it just really quickly. So extroverted or introverted, you know, where are you getting rejuvenated? Do you get rejuvenated from being social or in a stimulating environment, or do you get it from retreating? Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. N or S, right? So intuitive, kind of big picture, sees a really large forest, whereas the S is standing in the forest and sees a pine needle and then sees a bird and then sees a mountain.
Yeah,
correct?
Details.
Right. So they see detail. And then feeler versus thinker, again, it's just more like, what's your natural reaction to how to respond to that particular situation? Do you do it with emotion, or do you do it with, like, what is a fact here? How do I respond? Does that sound fair? And then J versus
P.
And I always just think about that as, like, no, actually, that's a bad way to think about it. But, yeah, just how do you... I think a lot of people who benefit from having a planner, but I only think there's a certain number of people who can really like keep a planner up, whether it's a calendar in their phone or something like that. Just people have a calendar that's really well organized, or people don't. And I think the P's tend to not really have that calendar. They like know things are coming, but they're like bad at planning too far, like more than like 2 days ahead.
So they want to allow room for something else to come up sometimes.
Yeah. So... Does that, is that about right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are you?
A lot of people think I'm an extrovert, but I'm actually an introvert.
Yeah.
I'm an INTJ. And the reason, it's cool because if you study the Myers-Briggs, the reason why I could come off as an extrovert is because my thinker personality means that it like makes me seem extrovert because I'll speak out against things that don't make sense. Mm-hmm. And I'll challenge people. Which is funny because you are what?
Yeah, so I'm the complete opposite. I'm an ESFP.
And what percentages would you rank yourself on all those?
Yeah, I mean, like, as far as I'm definitely not, I'm an extrovert.
Like, how far of an extrovert? Like 80%?
I don't know. It's come back as I've gotten older. I like, you know, right
yeah,
now.
But when you're around your friends, you're
100%. Oh, I know. I mean, I let it loose, man. Cowboys got a ride, you know? It's not weird. yeah, I mean, I'm an extrovert. And then I'm an S, so I see typically details before I see the whole picture. I'm really, like you were talking about, a lot of it's about senses, and obviously all of us learn from senses, but... good job, bud.
Duke just burped.
I like to touch things. I learn really well by touching things and putting things together and things like that. And then I'm a big feeler. And you're a thinker. And so usually, you know, at least stereotypically, men tend to have that thinker personality where they're just more logical and stern and people see them as hard. And then it's women who typically be a little bit more emotional and are brought to tears often. And, but you and I are completely opposite of the stereotype. Tell me about growing up as a thinker and, tell me about it.
I always felt like an outcast. Well, because I was introverted, and so it was really hard for me to, exert energy to be around people. And second of all, I grew up in a whole Italian family of feelers. And so when I would exert my thinker and I would challenge people on their emotions because it didn't make sense to me, then I would be seen as a bitch or rude. And really, I was just trying to process and understand it. So for a long time, I thought I had like a quote unquote like bitchy personality because that's just kind of how people branded me. And then I took a Myers-Briggs class when I worked in the corporate world. And I'll never forget that lady. And she came up to me and she's like, "You're not a bitch." She's like, "You're just a thinker." And then that's when I kind of, luckily for me, that was in my early 20s that I was able to embrace my thinker side and then utilize it. Now, how well I utilize it, I don't know. I'm still learning because I didn't know about this until later in my life. But I think it, as a woman, it was hard. It is hard because I can be seen as challenging and rebellious.
When do you first remember feeling like maybe you were a bitch?
First grade.
So from first grade until you were like 22, you thought you were probably a bitch.
Yeah.
Did that compute, like when you thought about it? Like, did you feel like a bitch or did you like?
I actually didn't feel like it. I felt inside that I was right. But I think I tried to force myself to be a feeler. So I felt more guilt and shame than anything else. So I would like overcompensate. My feeler and like start doing really nice things for people. So people would think I was a feeler. So like if I realized that like I pissed someone off, then I would like go buy them like their favorite candy and say I'm sorry. And
yeah,
so it was just stupid because then I overcompensated for things that I didn't need to.
Sure.
Now I just am like, well, fuck you.
Yeah. What out of your four personality traits do you feel like has matured the most as you've aged?
I don't know. Probably both. My introversion and my thinker, I think I attribute a lot of my thinker change to you because being like in a relationship with a feeler has taught me to see things from a different way. And you've explained it in a way that's not condescending. So I was open to it.
Yeah.
So you've changed me a lot in that way. And then just with my job in fitness, I have to wrangle my introversion and be around people.
Yeah, I think we should retake the test now because now that you've had Duke, you're the biggest softie I know. It's like because now everything that you see is now through a different prism. It's through a prism of motherhood and how to protect your son. And I think you're always like with your son. I don't think you're going to be a thinker. I think you're going to be a feeler.
I think I'll be a thinker when it comes to rules, though. Like I already have from this is where my J comes in. From like 1 to 5, I have a lineage of like what his chores are going to be, and I'm going to enforce it.
Yeah, that's definitely your J. I never in my right mind would have thought of something until I looked down and I was like, ah, that needs to be swept. Hey, Duke. Hey, I'm going to teach you how to sweep today, bud.
Which one do you think has changed most on yours?
I think I'm able to control my extroversion better. The problem was I was an extrovert.
Because of me or what?
No, I think it's just been, yes, you've helped in that process. No, I think, especially with the P, my P, extroverted P, was a really hard thing growing up because I would get so excited and I would make plans with like, I just want to hang out with people and just make plans. And then I'd realize as I was like making the plans or right after that, I already had made plans with somebody.
So you overbooked yourself?
I would overbook myself all the time. And then I would have to cancel on people or then I was, you know, going for a short amount of time and trying to leave and I got better and better with it, but like college, you know, it's really hard. That's a stimulating place for an extrovert. It's like opportunities to do anything at any time you want, really. So I had to learn how to control that. But yeah, I feel like now I know when to, like we were just talking about, I know when it's appropriate to really, you know, be a crazy extrovert and when it's not. And also I just like now also I just, like I said, I want to come home and spend time with my son and I want to go to bed at a reasonable time. Damn it. I want to have tea and I want to go to bed.
You know what I think has changed the most is your S. I think that you're starting to see things from a bit, your balance of an S and an N is pretty well-rounded now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although maybe. Some movies is so annoying to sit next to you because you're like, that wouldn't happen. Not real. Like, shut up.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Some of these things, it's like, anyways, yeah, I don't know.
Lord of the Rings would happen.
I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds like a topic for another night.
What do you think Duke is, really quick?
Yeah, that's a good guess. Or a good thing. Okay,
and
so
why?
So I think Duke's going to be an extrovert. You know, this kid will wake up at 3 o'clock just freaking talking and laughing at himself.
Yeah.
I think the kid likes to party. I think he's going to be an extrovert. I think I'm going to play the odds here. I think he's going to be an S. I'm an S. Jeff's an S.
My dad.
Chris is an S. Papu maybe is an N. I don't know. I think he's going to be an S. That one's hard. You can't really see. A lot of that's about how you solve problems, and we don't have enough data. He hasn't solved enough problems yet. He's just doing a good job growing. Oh, good job. Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Being an extrovert here.
Yeah.
Taking over.
I think he is going to be... I think he's going to be a feeler. But we'll see. I don't know. I used to think he would be a thinker, but I think I'm just going to wear on him too much. He'll be a feeler. And then I think he's going to be a P, at least at first, because I think a lot of guys are, you know, kind of babied by mama and, you know, they're kind of lackadaisical and dirty and kind of lazy. So I think...
Not my kid.
Yeah, I know. So we'll see. I think he'll be a P. So I'm going to guess he's going to be an ESFP. Ha, you get me.
Two of you.
What do you think?
I think definitely, I used to think introvert, but definitely an extrovert now that we've seen him wake himself up. Well, it wake us up talking to himself multiple times. So definitely an extrovert. I agree. I think he'll be an S. The reason why I think he's going to be an S is I'm not guessing. It's like, if you watch him with his toys, he's so peculiar of like what he wants to do with them. And he gets frustrated when it doesn't go his way. So he's just like, he analyzes it. Maybe that's just a baby thing. It probably is, but I'm gonna guess an S too. Sometimes I don't know about the thinker or feeler because he definitely doesn't pay attention to me when he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
So, like.
Well, and he does. He actually does get all sterned up when like I'm around or something like that.
Yeah, he sterns up in front of all men. It's weird. Like in front of girls, he'll like coo. Like that's a part of you he's gonna get.
Oh God, he just threw up.
Oh crap! Sick. Anyway, shit.
Alexa, quickly closing thoughts this week. What
anyway.
Would you like? What would you like the people to walk home with?
Stick to your workouts, guys. Be sure to take a break. Don't feel guilty if you need to take a break. There's still more throw up right there.
Yeah, I get it.
And we love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Hey, stay safe.